Now, one of the things that always impresses me about the Bible, one of the things I love about the Bible, is that it has a tendency to show its heroes faults and all. Did you ever notice? That's one of the proofs that the Bible is true. See, if the Bible was a lie, it would show people like Abraham and Moses and even the disciples as superhuman beings who never did anything wrong. But in the Bible, the only perfect person is Jesus himself. All the rest of the Bible's heroes are men and women with feet of clay. They are human, just like us. And the Bible shows them to us just as they are. They are like us, human beings, faults full of them. But God, in his wisdom and understanding, works through them to accomplish his purposes and to work out his plan for the salvation of our kind. Now, I don't know about you, but I find a great deal of hope in that. See, if God could work through them, and he did work through them, there's hope for us too. If he could work through people like them, he can work through you and me too. Now, on the day about which Cynthia just read to you, the disciples were messing up big time. First, you remember from last week's sermon, they were unable to cast the demon out of that little boy. Now, they tried, you remember. A few days before, they had been out on their own successfully casting out demons. But on this particular day, Jesus was away from them up on the mountain, and try as they might, they could not make that stubborn demon obey them. And no sooner had Jesus come down from the mountain and settled the matter successfully by taking over and doing what the disciples could not do, by covering their failure, if you will, an argument arose among them. Now, the argument was probably the result of their failure. They were most likely upset with themselves, because they had been able to do what they wanted to do in Jesus' name, cast out the demon. They were angry with themselves because they could not do what Jesus did, and Jesus had to come and take care of it. And then, because Jesus had said that stuff about being betrayed, stuff which they did not understand, it just simply added to their frustration. It was, after all, one of those days. You've had them. They creep up on us. Nothing goes right. We can't do what we want to do. It all falls apart. It was one of those days. Undoubtedly, one thing led to another. And before they realized what was going on, they were bickering with each other. But even though they fell into an argument without meaning to go there, they were aware that their behavior would not please Jesus. You know how I know? They tried to hide the argument from Jesus. Did you ever notice how kids do that? Okay, when they don't want you to see what they're doing wrong, they try to cover it up. I won't mention presidents. But anyway, they did not want him to know that they were fighting with each other. And most likely, it was the subject of the argument that they knew would displease Jesus more, if not at least as much, as the argument itself. See, like little kids. Now, I want to emphasize, in my notes, I underline that. I don't want you to miss that. Like little kids. These grown men, picked by the master, to compose his inner circle and to be the fathers of the church. These grown men who the Son of God had personally entrusted with ministry were arguing over which one of them was going to be the greatest. Now, honestly, is not this the stupidest thing you ever heard? If you were writing a story and you wanted to push Christianity off and convince people that Jesus is the Messiah, would you tell something like that about the 12 disciples, the one Jesus picked to be the leaders of the group, if it wasn't so? Grown men, hand-picked by Jesus to be the fathers of the church, the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, knowing that Jesus would never approve, were arguing over which one of them would be the greatest of the 12. It's surely one of their finest moments. Says preach a little. Ever have a moment like that? I mean, one of those moments when you look back on it now and you look at your own behavior and you say, oh my God, what was I thinking? Why would I do that? Little kid behavior. From fully grown men who should have known better. Right? But now you listen to me. You hear this now. Nothing is hidden from Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus knew what was going on because he could read their thoughts. Remember what he said to the disciples just a few hours before when he came down from the mountain and found them fumbling the casting out of the demon? Oh, perverse generation, he said, how long have I got to put up with you? I can see him shaking his head, can't you? Shaking his head at what he knew they were thinking. Shaking his head at the subject of their discussion. Shaking his head because of his great disappointment in who they were and how they behaved. Oh, makes me wonder, how often does he sit up there in heaven on his great and beautiful throne and shake his head over me? Shake his head at us. Because the truth of the matter is as it is, we are no better than were they. And nothing is hidden from him. And every now and then, we have one of them days. On that day, the Bible says that Jesus took a little child. Now, yeah, I got to get this picture. I love Jesus because he does these things to us and we gloss right over to him to see it. He's got grown men acting like little kids. Okay? So what's he pick? A little kid. Okay. Maybe it was even the same little boy from whom they had tried to cast out the demon. That would be like Jesus, a little pointed, you know. But he takes a little kid, and he put that little kid right in front of him so the disciples could see. And he said to his disciples, whoever welcomes a little child welcomes me. Now, I got to tell you, I'll preach a little bit here again, okay? Because I sometimes hear complaints about little kids, okay? Sometimes it's about the behavior of little kids right here in this room. Because you know what? Little kids am sometimes really annoying, okay? I mean, they are. Sweet sometimes, but other times... don't they? I mean, Michaela was so sweet, okay? But I know her mother. And I pray to God that Michaela gives back to her mother what her mother gave to... And I can just look at... I see it in Michaela. Okay? There are going to be moments. Okay? I mean, little Rob is here this morning. Okay? And man, when his dad was up there beating on the drums, he was beating the drums back there. Does he have drums? You need to get that boy drums. Loud ones. Loud drums. Okay? And then he did a couple laps around the center of the congregation. Okay? And boy, was his mother upset with him. Okay, but did you hear what Jesus says? Whoever welcomes a little child welcomes me. And then he said to him, whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me, my Father in heaven. And don't you hear the little song that we used to sing when we were kids? Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, even the ones getting on your nerves today. Red and yellow, black and white, Jesus loves the little children of the world. Remember that. Next time one of them is bugging you. But then Jesus said, he who is least among you, he is the greatest of all. They thought we were talking about kids, little children. Not grown men who were behaving like little kids. And how shocked they must have been when Jesus revealed to them that he knew what they were arguing about and what they were saying to each other. How embarrassed they must have been when Jesus revealed to them that he knew what they were fighting about. How pointed the demonstration and the remarks. See, we're not great. We're supposed to be each other's servants because we are the slaves, that's the word the Bible uses, the slaves of God through Jesus Christ. We're not all that much. Our goal should not be to become greater than our brothers and sisters. Our goal should be to lose our lives serving Jesus by serving each other. Now, before we go anywhere here, before we do anything else, you need to, you know, sort of get, John over there likes to do this. You can get comfortable, however you are. Get ready to resist. You won't like this part. You need to think about what it was that Jesus said to the disciples that day and how it applies to us. You need to think about the one who may even be here in this room right now. The child of God who you don't want to talk to, who you are refusing to serve, someone who may have used you badly, maybe said nasty things about you, maybe they even said the nasty things to your face. Do you hear the reigning operative in all of that that I just said? It's the little word Y-O-U. We have a tendency to look at life and make it all about us. How those people we don't like mistreat us. You hear it? You get the point? You know what we did, folks? We killed Jesus. No one has gone that far in their abuse of you yet. On that day, when the disciples were fighting over who was the greatest among them, Jesus told them that it was time for them to get over themselves. It was time for them to give up on me. Got it good and tight? Is it getting through yet? Are you hearing it? It is time for each one of us in the body of Christ to get over being me and start living for Him. It's interesting to note that on the day in question, the day about which Cynthia read to us, as soon as Jesus said what He said, the argument stopped. I like John, because John does what we often do when we are in an embarrassing moment. He quickly tries to change the subject. You know, Jesus, the other day I saw this guy out there casting out demons, and I stopped him because he wasn't one of us. Wasn't it a good try? I mean, don't you want to give him credit? Really good scheme. Get Jesus to think about something else, he won't look at me. Okay? But that day, there is absolutely no sign in the scripture that the disciples did anything different because of what had happened. They knew Jesus was unhappy with them because of their own behavior. They knew that when they were in the middle of the fight. And yet they kept it going anyway. When Jesus confronted them with their misunderstanding, they did not apologize to Jesus for what they had been doing that offended Him. Nor did they turn to each other and say, "Brother, forgive me. I shouldn't have behaved that way." Seems as if they had their arms folded and their ears closed, and they continued to be concerned about me. They were still wondering how it was going to work out in the end, and which one of them was going to end up being greatest. Really, it was not a good day for the disciples. Their response to what Jesus did somehow seems to be totally inadequate, doesn't it? So, I wonder what you need to do today. To get over being you. A couple of quick suggestions. Right now, surrender. If you're doing this in your heart, if you're saying, "I won't do it, I'm going to cling to it, I'm going to keep that grudge because I love it." Surrender. Become what Jesus called you to be. A servant. And when you've taken that step, the second one is to apologize to the Father. For acting like a little kid. When in fact, what you should be is a disciple of Jesus Christ. And suggestion number three, today, before the sun sets today, You go to that one that you do not want to serve. And you offer them the love Jesus has offered you.